What is going on, people? This is Elder Tenshi, and before we get into this episode of Otaku Labs, just want to let you know that this was originally on the Brain Entertainment's YouTube channel before we left YouTube, and it was a fun one. This is two scenarios, one done by myself and Zilla Grimm, and the second scenario done by JJ Darkfire. This is us having some fun with Dragon Ball fan fiction, just like when we did the adding Cooler's Revenge into Dragon Ball Super. So we hope that you sit back, relax, and listen to our goofy selves come up with ways to bring in the form known as Super Saiyan 4. This episode was done right before the start of the Marl arc, so we hope that you enjoy it and come back for much more news and discussions just like this one. So with that in mind, let's get to the episode.
Hello, my peoples, and welcome to another episode of Otaku Labs. I am here with my fellow Dragon Ball enthusiasts.
Elder Tenshi.
And JJ Darkfire.
And today's episode will be a what-if rewrite. What if Super Saiyan 4 was brought into Dragon Ball Super?
And for any newcomers to the channel, thank you. Welcome to On the Brain Entertainment. Otaku Labs is a discussion podcast focusing on otaku culture. Everything from manga, anime, light novels, fan fiction, whatever. So welcome. And
please enjoy. Make sure you subscribe and like down below. Make sure you hit that notification button so we can kamehameha everything.
What he said. All right, let's go.
We are going to be introducing Super Saiyan 4 into the Dragon Ball Super Universe, but it will not be called Super Saiyan 4.
Well, tell us your thoughts on it. I know you gave me a couple cliff notes here and there, but I want to hear how you feel this transformation can fit into Super, and how do you think it should be brought about?
Well, before we do that, just really quick, I just want to talk about how this topic was brought about. It was inspired by a video essay I had watched where the narrator was basically saying how he dislikes GT, but he enjoys it for another reason. But as far as Super Saiyan 4, he says it was a literal butt pull. And if you look at – I'm just paraphrasing, but if you really look at it, that's literally what it was. That's exactly what it was. It wasn't earned. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't talked about before they pulled his Goku's tail out of his butt. That's the only time it was mentioned. Then he got the power. Every other thing that he ever had, everything from the Kaioken to Super Saiyan Blue was all earned. So that's why
not God.
But God had to have a ceremony.
And Four has to have a tail.
Yeah. If he had his tail beforehand, it would have made more sense. But no, they had to literally pull it out. It was a dire situation, and they had to rush through it. That's bad writing. We enjoyed it for what it was at the time.
It was the best fucking power up they ever had.
But think about it in context, especially knowing that he was still little Goku. He couldn't handle the power of a Super Saiyan 3, but yet Super Saiyan 4. So that's what that brought up. So that's what brought that up for me. I mentioned it to Zilla. Next thing you know, we spend like 2 days writing what we would think the Super Saiyan 4 would be like if they, number one, rewrote it in GT and brought it into Super. So that's
but
what brought
GT
up
GT one we're not really going to talk about because honestly, there's really no way of fixing it. Really, there is no way of fixing it for GT because of the way it was written.
I think it's because of the tail.
There's where the hang up is.
That's all it is. But
do you have any opinions on that one, Mr. Darkfire?
No, I'm with you guys so far. Yeah, Elder Tenshi. As he said, it was literally an ass grab. They pulled the tail out of his ass because it was cut off so long ago. And in order to incorporate this new transformation, which his little body couldn't maintain Super Saiyan 3, it wasn't resilient enough, but his tail magically gave him an adult body when he got the transformation on Planet Tuffle.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I don't like the form. I'm not saying that I, you know, didn't enjoy it
because I had the tapes. I watched it all the time. You know, I'll still enjoy it today. But
in the scenario of trying to incorporate it into Dragon Ball Super, I would sooner say keep the origin story of how Goku came to Earth, but let him keep his tale from the beginning, since this would literally make sense to how he could achieve this next level of transformation after undergoing all of this training and finally, you know, accepting
his Saiyan heritage. Well, once he finds out he's a Saiyan to begin with?
Right, but he finds out he's a Saiyan, you know, after
Raditz. You know,
correct.
Yeah, but we're putting this in the Super, so.
Right, but I was just saying from the perspective, let him keep his tail instead of letting him lose it from the beginning.
So no, that requires you to basically rewrite
the whole series.
All of Z up until now.
Okay, but if we're incorporating into Super, wouldn't we want him to already have his tail?
No, we want to try to stick to the true canonization of Super to try to introduce this form.
So
just
let
me explain.
Okay.
True. All right, I'm going to wind up pulling somewhat of a Kai thing, but not a Kai thing with it, with the tail. All right? Okay, first off, we have this whole new arc coming out with the Galactic Patrol prisoners. This is where our villains of this arc will be from. We're going to be introducing Baby, but not the Baby that you guys know. He will be a psychic villain that has a control of another surviving Saiyan of massive power. Broly 2.0. And also known as Cumber.
Broly 2.0.
So, when Goku and Vegeta hear of this, right? You know, they take them to wherever these guys are so they can fight it out. You know Goku. Ooh, strong guys. Let's go. Clock, clock. Vegeta's just going to cover Goku's ass when he fucks up. It's normally true, ain't it? If you really look at it, Vegeta's just a cover. No offense to all you Vegeta fans out there, because I mean, I have more respect for Vegeta than I do with Kakarot.
Especially since he's had the most development in Super.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, as a character in general.
So here we go. You know, Baby and Cumber wind up on another habited planet. We shall call this planet Kruger.
Kruger?
C-R-G-R. Kruger. I mean, K-R-G-R. Kruger. Okay. Planet Kruger. It's the working name of the planet. And, you know, Baby's has his mind control on Cumber. They're destroying the planet, you know, the inhabitants, everything. Yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And so Whis and Beerus take Goku and Vegeta to this planet. Goku gets super excited, not thinking right away, and bum rushes Cumber. Cumber's getting, you know, if you saw Heroes, Cumber does a little power-up thing where he breaks through his little straitjacket and just starts pounding the shit out of Kakarot.
Mm-hmm.
Kakarot powers up. Gets his ass kicked more. Powers up again. Gets his ass kicked more. Powers up to God. Gets his ass handed to him. Then powers up to Blue. Someone on equal playing field starting to overpower Cumber. Cumber powers up to Super Saiyan. Or Super Saiyan 3. Whatever you guys want to fucking call it. Whatever form he had fighting in Heroes. And now he's on equal terms. Goku powers up with Kaioken, constantly going back and forth. Cumber slams Goku to the ground, and then Vegeta jumps in. Going back and forth, and then all of a sudden Cumber jumps back. And he's got this evil glare in his eye. And Baby screams down to Cumber, "Do it!" Cumber makes a Blutz Wave Ball, the artificial full moon, throws up into the air. Now you all might be thinking, he's going to become a regular Uzaru. No, 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 no. He becomes Golden Uzaru. Goku and Vegeta fuse into Gogeta. Can't handle the power. They burn through the fusion. right? So, in a last bit of attempt, Whis teleports them both back to Earth. And they're all confused. What's going on? How does he have that kind of power? And Whis goes, it's got to be something about you get Saiyans with the tails. Your tails have to have more meaning than what you originally thought. Right? Mm-hmm. So, Whis is thinking about it. So, what does Whis do? He asks, who wants to volunteer for this experiment? Right? To make him stronger? Mm-hmm. And Vegeta's like, no. Your tail's just going to be another weakness. And Goku, not thinking like Goku. All right, I can get stronger. Let's do this. They go to the Super Dragon Balls. Nah, I'm not going with Super Dragon Balls because that's going to take years to collect or whatever it's going to be. They go to Namek and they wish for Goku's tail back.
Or, and I'm just saying this because Whis has become the Deus Ex Machina of the show.
What, you think he just walks, pats him on the butt, there's your tail?
Yeah.
No, he can't. If he can bring Frieza to life,
like if he can bring, exactly, if he can bring Frieza back to life, if he could,
that should be like nothing to him.
If he can go backwards, yeah.
Okay, I see where you're coming from. Okay, but, we'll do that.
You know that would make more sense than wasting a wish on it. I'm just
no, saying. I see. Okay, I agree. Actually, I do like that idea. See, we all work together good. Mm-hmm. So Whis walks up and just takes not the pointy end, the round end of it, and just smacks Goku in the butt. And there's the tail,
but here's the thing. Unlike the GT part of it, where it became a liability until he transformed into Super Saiyan 4, Goku has to learn how to.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
I'm sorry. I went ahead and stomped on you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm getting there. So Goku's looking at his tail, holding it like, "Hi, old friend," if he would say something like that, right? And then Whis goes, okay, let's go train. Where are we going? The realm of spirit and time, not the room. Realm. I don't know what they call it in Super.
They still call it hyperbolic time chamber.
All right, so we'll go to the realm of spirit and time. We're going to train for 5 years straight, 5 days. And in that 5 years, we'll see how strong you get with your tail. And Goku's like, awesome. And they go. 5 days pass. Vegeta does his normal amount of training. He can try to get stronger. And so Whis takes him back to that planet. Now that planet is almost completely taken over by Baby. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't have the story take place on Earth. I just figure it'd be much better to stick out with, you know,
with actually going to another planet.
Yeah, unfortunately because of Frieza and shit. So Goku and Cumber start fighting. They're on par with each other, base forms, right? Because of all the training Goku did. They're fighting. Cumber powers up to Super Saiyan, slams Goku. Goku still has not fully mastered the tail, technically. Even though he had 5 years of training. So, he stumbles back and looks at Vegeta and says, Vegeta, you remember that trick from when you first came to Earth? And Vegeta's like, oh, you sneaky dog. As a throwback to Vegeta versus Goku in the Blood Ball. And so Vegeta threw it up. Goku transforms into the Golden Uzaru.
Now, at this point, he's never done this before. He spent 5 years in the...
He didn't become the Uzaru in the training. There's the hang-up. He did not become an Uzaru in the training. He just trained with the tail.
Mm-hmm.
To help boost his power.
Right.
He never trained in Uzaru form. So as soon as he becomes Uzaru, you can basically hear Beerus go, he's lost it! And Goku starts destroying the planet. And Vegeta's trying to get to him. He just gets swallowed away. He fucking shoots his little fire beam ball at Baby. Baby dodges, which pisses Cumber off. Cumber becomes Golden Uzaru. And now you've got a Kong versus Kong style match going on. Uzaru wrestling.
Except, wouldn't Cumber have a little more control over the...
Yeah. Cumber's not going berserk.
Right, whereas Goku...
is in full berserk mode. Right?
I'm seeing this in my head.
And they're wrestling to the ground, all that. Cumber picks Goku up, slams him on the ground. Goku rolls back around, hits him with a left hook. right? And you know, Vegeta couldn't get through to him. Beerus couldn't get through to him. Whis is like, who can we get through to him? And Goku's like, try Bulma. Whis goes back to Earth to get Bulma. Comes back to the planet with Bulma. Bulma's like, how do I reason with that? How do I reason with that if he can't hear me? So as this is going on, you know, they're still wrestling and all that. Baby comes down and kicks the shit out of Vegeta. Whis is, I'm not involved in this, right? So Baby turns his eyes toward Bulma. Goku sees this, because it's not hard to miss that blue hair, right? Uh-huh. And starts growling, heads toward Baby. And all Baby did was smack her. And all of a sudden you see Goku roar back, like he did in GT with Pan. And, you know, you see in his head when Goku's going this way and all that. And it's sort of like his mind's at war right now. And Cumber's backing off because now he can feel Goku's power rising. So, as Goku is still not in, he's in control, but not fully control. He starts to glow like he did in GT, right? Next thing you know, you see lightning flashing, blasting all around him, and the ground caving in toward him. Like how the mountain collapsed. Mm-hmm. And then as the smoke and everything starts clearing, you see red fur. You see the mane. I'm calling it a mane. I don't give a fuck. Black mane.
You call it a mane. It's hair. Yeah.
Right? And Vegeta's looking over, and he's like, what is that form? It is so primal.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Right? And all of a sudden, Goku's eyes glow red, and he flies toward Cumber, giving him one good left hook, slamming him into the ground, and then turns his attention to Baby. With a mighty roar, flies up to Baby, starts pounding the shit out of Baby. Right? And all of a sudden, I mean, he's giving it to him good. Next thing you know, he turns back toward the pile of rubble where he slammed Cumber. Cumber starts doing the same thing he was. Powering up. And all of a sudden you get, the same rehash of the scene. Smoke clears. You see Cumber. Brown fur, red hair. Not going to have him the same looks. Right? And they tear into each other. I mean, tear into each other. Crevice is there, Kamehameha there, whatever the fucking power being Cumber uses there. And then out of nowhere, and this fight's going for a long, long time. Next thing you know, you hear Cumber roar back. And there's Vegeta behind him with the Vegito-style energy beam sword. Cut off Cumber's tail. And all of a sudden, Cumber depowers. And with one mighty blast of the Kamehameha, there's no more Cumber. Okay. And then Beerus goes up to Whis, Hakai. Not Whis. To Baby, and Hakai's him. Because of the psychic control that Whis has. I mean, Baby has.
What do you think?
Honestly, I like it. It kind of gives us a reason for Super Saiyan 4's existence to begin with, or Primal. And honestly, I just like the name. Because if you look at every
other... Did you notice? No acknowledgement of Super Saiyan at all. That's Primal.
Right. Now, one thing that every Super Saiyan form, with the exception of God and Blue, had, is each time a Saiyan got another form, his mind went blank for a while, right? He had to learn how to control the form to begin with. This is a whole other power in general because it's incorporating the Ozaru strength into what we would call a Super Saiyan, right? So that's why Goku doesn't have any control besides that. Even when he's transformed Ape Man. He doesn't have control at first. So it also gives us a reason for the tail, besides just to absorb Blux waves. Because the tail is essentially the lightning rod to absorb all that energy.
And right? When you lose the tail, you lose the form. That's why I went that route in order to defeat Cumber. And you liked how I brought the whole Vegito sword into it, didn't you? The spirit sword.
That was pretty cool.
I said Vegito was doing his own training, right? I didn't say on what, though.
You said Vegeta.
Yeah. But he was doing the Vegito sword.
It's key control.
Yep.
Please let us know in the comments down below. And tell us what you think.
You had some notes that you wanted to run by us on this. What do you think?
All right. The way I'm thinking about it. Okay, you know how in Dragon Ball Super we had the final tournament, right? It was inside of the void.
Yeah. Tournament of Power?
Yeah.
So instead of placing this scenario inside the void, the arena is taking place on the moon itself.
Okay.
They go to the moon.
Wait, who's holding the tournament?
Zeno. Instead of it being in the void, it's being done in
the realm of the void where they're free to do whatever they want.
Okay.
And that's the whole reason, because if you have it on the moon, they can almost fucking destroy the galaxy just by clashing fists, dude.
Okay, but this is why I'm saying the moon, because we're trying to go into the whole Super Saiyan.
So you're basically trying to erase Mastered Ultra Instinct altogether.
Let me finish. I am rewriting it in a way where we can achieve
this. In a way as a ninja.
So, and I am not wiping Mastered Ultra Instinct technically. I'm just incorporating it in a different sense.
He's using it as Super Saiyan 4.
Now, the Tournament of Power is being held on the moon. We know how...
Which universe?
Goku and Vegeta both get... Well, they're saying heritage with being with their tails and whatnot, how they get energy from the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, they're without their tails so far. So, with them being on the moon's surface, their bodies being Saiyans, they're absorbing the energy from the moon itself, gradually restoring their tail. So, the longer they fight on
the moon to regenerate their tail.
So, the longer they fight on the moon, the faster their tail regenerates back. So as the Tournament of Power is going, elimination after elimination, as they fight, they're getting stronger, but they don't realize that their tail is growing yet.
How do they not notice the tail?
Because they're in the middle of the fight. It's too intense.
They're too focused on fighting for the sake of their universe.
Mm.
So during prolonged matches, the tail finally reaches its peak.
It has fully matured.
Goku doesn't get pushed to a point until obviously he's fighting Jiren, the toughest guy in the arena so far. Now, Jiren pushes Goku to his ultimate limits. And just like Goku tried to pull this one move to try to take Jiren out for good.
Oh, the spirit bomb?
It engulfs him, and he absorbs more of that energy while still being on the moon's surface. Now, finally, when everybody thought he was gone, he comes back. But instead of having brown fur and black hair, or red fur and black hair, I'm giving him white fur and white hair.
Mastered Ultra Instinct 4.
Or that fanfic Super Saiyan 5
and
from back in the
I'm
day.
I'm calling this form the Lunar Saiyan.
The Lunar Saiyan. Well,
Lunar
Saiyan.
It sounds like someone from Sailor Moon, but okay.
You're on the moon, you get
the
it?
The Lunar Saiyan. He received all the energy from the moon, and he's gained more battle experience while fighting. But, just like Mastered Ultra Instinct, this form has its drawbacks since it's completely new to him and he hasn't trained with it.
Mm.
So as the fight goes on with Lunar Saiyan and Jiren, they clash and they clash and they clash. But then it gets to a point.
I think you were giving it to your boy Vegeta.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Wouldn't Vegeta be absorbing the same amount of energy too?
Yeah,
he is. I said that the Saiyans get that energy. But I'm just sticking the focus to one character right now since we were pretty
much... But I just did Goku. You should do Vegeta.
He's doing. I think he's doing both, but he's just focusing on Goku right now because that's what the show does.
So, at a certain point, he collapses. He collapses. The immense power that he absorbed while fighting on the moon.
Does his finally back blow out like it did in the original?
No, he starts to bleed internally. That's how much power he had.
It crushed his insides.
But he's not dead. Because Whis.
Of course, Whis is... like you said, Deus... What?
Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
So, after that fight with Jiren, he understands that there's a level of power beyond what he already understood. And from being on the moon, he goes back and recaps on his own Saiyan heritage. And this is where the bond between Goku and Vegeta thicken, because he learns more about his Saiyan heritage from Vegeta in this moment, about the origin of his tale. And from fighting on the moon, birthed the Lunar Saiyan.
That's interesting. He went a totally different place.
They were both good original origins.
They were good. I wasn't expecting him to go to the moon. Wait a minute. Okay, hold on a second. How many times has the moon been destroyed in this?
That's where I was trying to get at. There's no moon.
Unless they go to another universe where there is.
That's why I asked which universe.
But I never said which universe.
You didn't, but in order, I'm just saying because unless you say that the moon is back, that's a giant plot hole. Another thing. While I'm not trying to intentionally drill plot holes into your thing, because I'm sure you know mine and Zilla's have it too. So they're still able to absorb the moon's energy while there's a barrier around them so they don't die? Because Saiyans, while they can breathe in space, it's not for very long. They have a limit. So in order for them to be on the moon...
Much like they were in different parts of planets in space for other tournaments.
Yeah.
Like
there was
precautions already taking place.
Yeah.
So the whole moon was surrounded by a barrier giving them oxygen?
Yeah. I didn't think I need to say that because I thought it was going to be obvious.
Oh, no. It's just like sometimes it's good to get those little details.
No, I understand. That's why I moved all my stuff to a different planet.
Yeah, because... So,
and I brought back the old throwback to the handmade lunar balls.
Yeah, and if they do bring... And if they do this on the moon, it's got to be a different moon. Because unless they wish...
Earth doesn't have a moon and Planet Plant doesn't exist yet.
And they never wish the moon back, as far as I know.
Yeah.
You know?
How many universes are out there in the series?
No, we're saying that. We're just... when it comes to that, like how I said it, I brought the whole fight to a whole other planet.
Right.
You just said the moon. You didn't state which moon, what universe...
But you could further that? The Universe 6 Saiyans could see this because they evolved without tails.
Yep.
Right. So that would want to push, especially Khalifa, because she wants to get as powerful as she can, as quick as she can.
She would not be able to handle Super Saiyan Primal.
At least not now. But she's already a brawler. You know,
in this scenario, even the Universe 6 Saiyans is going to
develop
plenty.
And since they're, you know, but this is just my thinking. Since they evolved without tails, if they somehow got those tails, well, they never had them to begin with. Whereas ours, they got blasted off or cut off. right?
And or removed by Kami.
And or removed. That was, you know, that was it. The only ones that didn't have tails to begin with, as far as we have been told.
Goten, Trunks, and Bra.
That's it. That's it. Broad Siri does not have a tail at all.
But Pan, then again, don't forget, Pan Bulma didn't give a natural birth.
But still, she would still look that same way because Bra was inside Bulma's womb. So that's the same, you know. So her tail, there would be no tail. Same thing with Pan. There was no tail.
Well, I forgot about that one.
You know,
she's like a what, quarter of a Saiyan?
They're both quarter Saiyans.
No, Bra's
well, actually. Well, Bra is half Saiyan, whereas Pan is quarter Saiyan. Either way, they don't have tails.
It's a 50-50 chance with a half-breed.
And the only other one that was half that had a tail was Gohan. And that was touched upon a few times. Gohan, you know, he's still a fighter, but nowhere near his dad's or his or Vegeta or even Piccolo, for that matter. So... I mean, yeah, he's stronger. He's stronger than Piccolo, obviously, but he doesn't really do much other than, you know, just have a regular job.
Left hook, right hook.
Yeah.
The other name that I was going to go with for marketing purposes was Super Zaru Saiyan.
Super Zaru Saiyan.
So yeah, the Super Ozaru.
So you're incorporating both the Ozaru and just the Super part within the name. Okay. I like both. Like I honestly, I like both stories, and it would be interesting to see. Like outside of just because games, they could do anything. Heck, they added a brand new character in Dragon Ball FighterZ. They've added the movie characters in Xenoverse.
See, in my story, I still get to keep Ultra Instinct.
And yeah, you
fuck Ultra Instinct.
But here's the thing about Ultra Instinct though. It's not exclusive to just Saiyans, remember? So yeah. he brought back in an Ultra Instinct because that's what a lot of people want to see. You just mixed it with the Saiyan transformation, and that would make it
unique.
That would make it unique and also hard to control because even when Goku went Ultra Instinct for the first time, he had no control. Absolutely no control, and he roared. He had that primal roar that they had to put that filter on. Like, my thing is, question: does he talk at all during this, or is he mute?
Well, he talks.
I would have kept him mute, man.
Primal, he's mute.
Like, I would have kept him mute.
He still talked.
Yeah,
not my story.
Oh, nah, sure. Like the most that he did in your story, in combination with mine, all he did was roar.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. That's the primal urge until he finally controls it. It would probably be like one of those like last resort forms because he knows even when it has, you know, even when you have control. Because
well, he won't need Ozaru again, but it's still the fact he still has to master the form itself.
Right. And
because you only need Ozaru once.
And even if somebody tried to bring up like Zeno Goku, you could just bring up the fact that Zeno Goku is basically Trunks's idealistic version of Goku, and plus he's in a game, he doesn't count. But we gave Cumber a chance, and he's an exclusive game character.
And I also like Cumber.
Right.
That's why I said Broly 2.0.
Right. So I honestly like both stories, but I want to know what the audience thinks.
Yeah, please let us know in the comments down below and tell us what you think. Story A, JJ Darkfire, or Story Z, Le Grimm.
Primal. But in the meantime, thank you all for listening. Check us all out on YouTube, on our SoundCloud feed. Big ups to SoundCloud, Anchor. We're on Instagram. Everything on the Brain ENT. And we will catch you on the next episode of Otaku Labs.
Make sure you collect them Dragon Balls and prepare that wish.
Peace.
Love.
Later.